Welcome to the Sports Bros Podcast, featuring the almighty B-Live, the money man Scotty D, and your host, the head of creative Eddie Cool. The Sports Bros Podcast, by the fan, for the fan, talking sports just the way you like it. And without any further ado, let's give it up for the Sports Bros.
Once again, it's Wednesday, and Scotty D is chuckling like an evil madman. Welcome to another episode of your favorite sports podcast, none other than the Sports Bros Podcast. I got all three of us here, myself, the HOC, Eddie Cool, the Almighty B-Live, and Scotty D. But before I get into it, fellas, I want to say something to the both of y'all right here, right now. I am uber proud of the both of y'all because we've come a long way from 2019 episode one, from sounding like hot garbage and Hassan Pfeffer. But I want to say that outside of the podcast, I am, if anybody is happy for y'all, it's me, because you got B-Live down there, the studio manager at was it the Share Studios, the Share Podcast Studios?
Share Studios, yes.
Shared Studios down there in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And then we got the money man, Scotty D, who's going back to school. Where are you going, Scotty D? Is it Waynesboro?
Waynesburg University, okay. Starting in just a couple weeks here. I am going to be a 50-year-old college student.
Let's go. If I haven't told y'all enough already, man, I am extremely proud of both of y'all, and I'm so happy. And, you know, when I thought about this podcast, I didn't know where it was going, but it's really opened up some doors and some avenues for all three of us. But it ain't about me. It's about y'all, too, right now. I'm trying to give y'all flowers, y'all moment, and I just want y'all to know that I am incredibly proud of y'all from the bottom of my heart. And I'm not going to cry. I promise. I'm not going to cry. But that was some coherent rambling. That was something straight from the heart. But with that being said, not only do I have one, but I have two of the best co-hosts in the world. Introducing first, the Almighty B-Live.
What's happening? What's going on in the world today? I want to say this to my man, Scotty D. It doesn't matter how old you are. It's as long as you finish the course. Finish the race. Don't be like Stetson Bennett and be 35 years old. Still don't have a degree after 7 years of school. Get in, get out, do what it do. Scotty D, do your thing. Did I just give you a compliment?
You just did that. You did that.
Felt weird.
Oh, hell no. Let's get back to normalcy. Go ahead and introduce the other guy. I guess he's got to be on the podcast too. That felt all right.
Yep. Being too nice and nice. And he is the pride of Washington, Pennsylvania. The toughest, meanest, roughest, thuggish, ruggest. Did y'all see on the news where they stole the Bone Thugs and Harmony Street sign? People can never have nothing. He is the one, the only, the money man, Scotty D.
Take me down to the paradise city where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. Oh, won't you please take me home? Yeah. Just had that one stuck in my head. That's all. So that is truth. What you guys just said, I am going back to school like Thornton Mellon doing the triple Lindy off the diving boards. I am no respect at all. I'm going back to school. I'm taking courses in sports announcing at Waynesburg University. So it is something related to what we're doing here. I am a little bit nervous about it because I am an older student, non-traditional type student, but I am very much excited and looking forward to this opportunity. Having said that, I don't know what things are going to look like for me coming up this fall. I'm having to take time off of my jobs. I'm going to be broke. I'm going to be busy. I may miss a segment or two or maybe a podcast or two or there, but either way, we'll work through it and come out on the other side. Wish me luck because I only have to do this for two semesters. So hopefully this time next year, we'll have all that behind me and we'll be on to bigger and better things. But yeah, and I'm excited for you to be live doing your thing. And Eddie Cool is off to the races here with a high school football season coming up in in Ohio here in just a couple weeks. It's a good time of year for sports, guys.
Actually, this Friday. This Friday. We're going
this
live.
Friday. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It is.
It's that here.
And Scotty D, don't worry about it. We've already got your replacement. He's a younger version of you. We'll bring on Hunter. It's all good. Be out with the old. In with
well.
The old. And also,
if anybody would bring in, that would be my pick, probably. So,
and if anything else, we could recruit a local rapper and be like Skip Bayless and bring him onto the show.
Yeah, Lil Wayne.
We can't afford Lil Wayne, so but we'll find a local rapper.
That is a clever move by Skip, trying to stay in good with the black community after running off yet another brother.
Oh boy, here we go. Yeah, we can't find, you know, Lil Wayne ain't in the budget, but we got to find Big Timmy. But that's neither here nor there. Let's go ahead and hop right into it. The top of the order.
All right, let's get this thing started. Here it is, the top of the order.
Week one of the NFL preseason is has come and gone. There's been a lot going on in between time. In the meantime, of course, you know, we got Dalvin Cook. He finds a home with the Jets. Zeke Elliott gets signs with the Patriots. He finds a home as well, too. So with that being said, fellas, what are your takeaways from week one of the NFL preseason?
First off, let's go and get a couple of ground rules together.
I won't show you up again. Go ahead.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Shut up. Let's start there. And when it comes to preseason, please, for the love of God, people, stop. Just calm down. Like, I'm a Panthers fan. We scored 0 points in our first preseason game, and everybody has fallen off the rails. Like, our season is already over. And I'm just like, yo, I mean, we got a rookie quarterback. We got a head coach the first time with the system there. We got a bunch of new coaches, new systems, new players. It's going to be all right. Relax. I look at it this way. Even our expectations weren't even high to start with. It's going to be fine. Calm down. Just enjoy football. Just whatever. Second of all, again, to all fan bases, calm down. Like, everybody, if according to multiple reports and everything, we might as well go ahead and hand off the MVP to Justin Fields. I mean, the 3 catches, 129 yards, 2 touchdowns. That sounds like a great stat line, but he threw the ball. It was screened.
Yeah.
My receiver did all the work. If anything, can we get DJ Moore back, please?
Ooh. That's him.
But Justin Fields, is the hype is there. So, again, I look at somebody. Week two, you'll get to see more because you'll see more of the starters playing a little bit more. A couple things I also took away, and hats off and kudos to Pat Mahomes playing the series. Like, out of all players, I think he could take week one off, but he wanted to play a series. Russell Wilson in Denver played multiple series. You would think out of all
people. Yeah, that he's trying to win a job.
He got the money though. What, 5 years, $250 million, X amount of a guaranteed, whatever. But he was out there. He's trying at least. Did Dak play his first week?
No, but our good quarterback played a couple series. Cooper Rush played a couple.
And then
he said the good quarterback.
Speaking of the good quarterback, now people want to bench Trevor Lawrence because the third string quarterback for Jacksonville?
He shook off a couple tackles against the Cowboys.
A couple.
Threw a touchdown. Yeah.
Five. Like, every person that touched that dude should be cut immediately.
Yeah, that was bad.
And he threw a miraculous touchdown. I was like, well, yeah, guess what? You probably still not going to. You may make the team because of that one play, but people, relax. It's okay. It's all right. The Jets are still not going to win the Super Bowl. I don't care who they sign. Dalvin Cook was a pretty good pickup, but
that's a good, really good pickup.
Really good freaking pickup. God almighty. The Jets are just
because he's good. Anybody would have, it would have been a good pickup for anybody that would have had the sense to sign him.
$8.6 million. Still ain't paying the man enough.
And Brees.
And Breece Hall.
How is he going to get by this year? And Breece, I feel for him.
And Breece Hall got activated from the pup list of a few days ago. We'll see. It'll be a 1-2 punch. And you remember that thing I sent in the ESPN graphic and ESPN, like, with the Patriots signing Ezekiel Elliott, is Ramondre Stevenson and Zeke Elliott the best 1-2 punch?
Thing that ESPN tries to do with every story is ridiculous.
Just stop.
Every story is the new hype. This is the best thing ever. Like, this. Oh my god! Like, I don't even understand why they do this, because all you're doing is setting us up to go back and be like, didn't you say this a few weeks ago? And then bust. And then they're gonna turn that into a whole nother story. That's what they do. They make stuff up just to make another story when somebody can come back and say, I told you so, you overreacted, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how about stop making up these dumb narratives and just let people play football?
Let the season play out. Just like you said, Bilal, let's get to week one first and then go from there. How about that? Can we do that, please?
Please.
I'm going to give you 3 points as it pertains to my team, and that might be 3 more points than any kicker for the Cowboys can produce. Because at last we saw the Dallas Cowboys in a meaningful game, the field goal kicker was shanking balls. Extra points, that is. And now he's gone, and they replaced him with a guy named Brandon Aubrey. Have you ever heard of him? You guys know who he is? Nope. You know why I've never heard of him? Because he didn't even play college football. He's a soccer player, and he played 1 year in the USFL, and now he's the kicker for the Cowboys. And he missed an extra point the other night, so I'm sorry, but I'm going to jump to a conclusion at this point that the Cowboys need a kicker quickly. That was the first point. Second point, I'm sick of greed, even when it comes to my own players, and Zach Martin holding out and crying till he got his way. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm glad the guy's there, but you made me the highest paid player a couple years ago, and other people now are making more, so I need more. I hate that. I'm sick of that in the NFL, and I'm sick of that in the NBA. We're going to get to that here in a little bit. And my third point is, Deuce Vaughn fever is already sweeping Texas, and it's going to spread. This dude's like 5'1", and he's faster than a speeding bullet cutting through the Dallas Cowboys backfield and slicing through your secondary before you can even see him because you can't find him. So Deuce Vaughn, he's a 6th-round draft pick running back. He's got a 2-year career probably. And then he'll be gone after he makes his $7 billion, and he'll be poor. Anyway, that's my 3 points I had there for what I witnessed and watching my own team play the first night.
Well, let's see. So you told me right now, Scotty D, your Cowboys not only have a former USFL player and a former XFL player, all that smack you be talking about these leagues, and now your Cowboys have formed a USFL kicker.
Wasn't Turpin also USFL?
Yeah, he was the MVP. Kavante Turpin was the MVP.
I think USFL. He was USFL too.
Either way, though, one of them leagues that Scotty D doesn't like. Either way, that and the Cowboys are filling up their roster, and I love it because irony, sweet irony.
There's a good chance neither are on the opening day roster.
They're not cutting Turpin. They're not cutting at all.
I don't know.
The kicker, I don't know what to tell you. But that's what happens when you pay kickers more than you pay running backs. I said what I said. So.
Well, I'd like to have Zeke back to kick then. I'd take him.
I'll tell you what.
Don't let your babies grow up to be running backs.
Yeah. Wow. So I tell you who I've been kind of sort of impressed with during the preseason up here in Cleveland. A quarterback, he has 3 initials by the name of DTR, who was, by the way, born in Columbia, South Carolina. Quarterback Dorian Thompson Robinson. He's been pretty solid during the preseason. Only two games in, he's completed 17 to 21 passes off 184 yards and 47 rushes on 9 carries. I mean, he's been looking pretty good, and looks like he might just kind of push Kellen Mond out the way for that backup job for Deshaun Watson. So that's what I've seen. I'm like, okay, all right, it looks pretty good, and come in, provide a spark for the offense. But a major circumstance will have to happen in order for him to get some playing time, like Deshaun Watson gets hurt or.
So Watson's going to be the starter this year. That's guaranteed.
Yeah. From the looks of he's going to be the starter. But I mean, okay. At least he has somebody behind him that can.
I was kind of just playing around with that word, guaranteed.
Fully guaranteed.
Yeah,
all of it, everything. And Deshaun Watson, wow, that's my boy. You see the Paul. You know that's my boy. But boy, do y'all want to go ahead and talk about it when it comes to Cleveland and dumb decisions?
Yeah, Cleveland and dumb decisions. What did they do? What did they do? Cleveland and dumb decisions.
Well, they drafted Johnny Manziel in the first.
Oh wow.
The Manziel documentary came out, and boy, Felice. That's all I can say. Felice. What in the world?
Very interesting documentary. If you guys haven't seen this show, I think it's only an hour long, right, B-Live? It's not super long.
A little over an hour long.
Yeah, it's a good watch, though.
Kevin Sumlin has no backbone whatsoever.
None.
Zero backbone. Just... Johnny Manziel fleeced the NCAA in outstanding fashion.
He did.
So, and all basically at the end of the day, give Reggie Bush his Heisman back. That's all I got out of the entire thing. But
let me give you my quick takeaway. That first of all, Johnny Football was a man ahead of his time because. He is a guy who really could have used an NIL deal. I mean, big time. He would be perfect for today's college football. And, whenever he started talking about it, it brought up exactly why these kids wanted to get out of college football and go take the money. He's talking about how he took Texas A&M to basically just another team and to heights they've never seen before, where the stadium is packed and they're going to build a new stadium. And people are dressing up wearing Halloween costumes that he wore, or dressing up like, well, it was a Scooby-Doo, I think, right? We wear a Scooby-Doo. Yep. The other people, he saw people. This guy had every opportunity to rub elbows with celebrities, and you can't blame him. He's 19 or 20 years old, and he's at a club with Drake. And meeting the LeBron and all the top athletes and celebrities. And they are selling millions of dollars worth of his jersey. And he said, I didn't have any money. I said, that didn't sit well with me. Well, you can't blame a kid for that. I mean, I don't blame Johnny Manziel one bit, because then he found out, well, I can make $30,000, like 30 grand a week, split 80-20 with my buddy who's helping me just by signing autographs. And then he got his buddy to take the fall, and he did. Like you said, he fleeced the NCAA. But if he got caught, so what? What did he care? Because he knew he was getting out of there after his second year anyhow. He'd already said, I'm moving on to other things. That was the first takeaway I had. The second takeaway I had was about this documentary is I felt like when it began, they started off showing him at a Texas A&M function. And at one point they showed him and he's like shaking hands and all that. And then they showed him at one point he's on the field getting acknowledged. I kind of thought as this was beginning that this was going to be a little bit of a happy ending redemption story. And it's not. I always thought Johnny Manziel was kind of a D-bag. And after watching it, I still feel that way. It's not like a Ryan Leaf story where Ryan Leaf overcame all of his demons and then, he got a job with ESPN and he acknowledged his past and used that as, to help other people. Johnny Football was talking about many times he's been through rehab and was like drinking on his way out of rehab practically. And at the end of the documentary, he's sitting there with a beer in his hand talking about how he's living his good life in Arizona, but he's not doing anything. He's not working. He's that at least they mentioned. I mean, he's only 29 years old. He's athletically still in his prime. He could have made good. He could have turned this around. But he just said, I just kind of lost interest in football. It wasn't fun anymore once he got out of college and he was in Cleveland. But do something. I mean,
yeah, you got to do something. You got to do something.
He's not doing anything. They showed at the beginning, somebody said, what are you doing now? He's like, oh, I'm just out in Arizona enjoying life. And then they show him, he's like drinking beer, throwing darts at his boys. I mean, nothing's changed. He's still like the frat dude that he claimed he was in the first place. I hope that he does turn things around, but I don't feel like he has right now. I still feel like he's the same Johnny Manziel, maybe just a little more under the radar because he's not as famous as he was 5 or 10 years ago. I was a little disappointed in that.
I didn't expect any turnaround story. I expected it to be exactly like it was because Netflix bought it. And so guess what he's going to get? Money off of that.
Yeah. More money coming to the bank account. You're right. But I thought that maybe we would see something at the end where he's like, I've grown a little bit as a young man and I have this project I'm working on, or I'm doing this, or I'm going back to school for none of that. And I didn't see any of that. I just saw the same Johnny football, just less exposure.
Yeah, it's just when I watched, I was like, okay, this is cool. But my favorite part of the whole documentary is when they started talking about the NFL Combine. When they started talking about like what he went through with the NFL Combine, as far as like, hey, I might have some stuff in my system. I gotta pee. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. It was just to see the depths that people go through to avoid a positive, you know, a positive drug test. It's like, what in the hell is going on? Because I was I've been up since 4:30 this morning, fellas. I had a lot going on, but in a good way. Preparation, you know what I'm saying? Preparation. Erdberg is the worm. So I'm sitting there pouring my cup of coffee and I'm like, boy, they are really going through it. And they had to pee and he had chugging water and doing this and doing that. And he had to get clean. And he came to the combine and showed out. And then it also went to the point where he did not watch film. They said he looked at Johnny Manziel's iPad and he logged in 0.0 hours of film study. I was like, well, I bid damn. And somehow, some way,
he acted kind of proud of that.
Yeah, like, hey, you know,
he did not care.
No.
No, and at the combine, he got the receivers he was supposed to throw to the next day, so wasted that they didn't show up.
Yeah, they got so damn wasted. He was like, who are you throwing to? Your agent? It's like, well, run a slant. The agent's like, how the hell do I want a slant? What the hell's a slant? I don't know what this is. Yeah, and I was like, it's just Johnny Football, Johnny Reckless, Johnny Irresponsible, all the above, and D, and then some. So I'm kind of like B-Live. Well, here we are again. You're still doing the same damn thing. This time in Arizona, you got a bunch of money. But like you said, Scotty D, he was a man ahead of his time. And he really could have benefited off the NIL.
He's an interesting cat. I mean, it's no question about it. He's an interesting dude. And, you know, it's hard to say that given the circumstances, if I was a 19-year-old kid and the whole world suddenly knew me and suddenly loved me and I suddenly had a chance to make a little bit of money and go hang out with celebrities, I mean, I can't point the finger at this guy and say, you're bad, and I would never have done that because I've never been in that position. So, you know, I'd like to think I would have been a little bit more responsible and seen the bigger picture, but that kid just didn't care.
No, he didn't.
I almost felt bad because I was like, I've made similar reckless decisions in my life.
Me too.
But good Lord, like his parents couldn't talk to him.
Nope.
His coach was he's looking at dollar signs and the trustees and the board of directors and looking at all the money Texas A&M is bringing in. Y'all want to stop that gravy train? No. We're going to get the fourth string quarterback to piss for him.
Yeah.
it was quite the tell all, but Johnny.
And if I'm mistaken, he never even got a second chance. Like, right? No team ever brought him in for another. Like, he never was on a preseason roster or in for a workout or anything, I think, that I can remember. I think pretty much the whole league looked at this kid and said, yeah, we're good. You know, we ain't going to bother with this one.
You know what I was hoping to see when you first brought this document to my attention, Scotty D? I wanted to see what happened that got him booted out of Canada.
Oh, yeah. They didn't even touch on that at all, did they?
They didn't go nowhere near it. I'm like, wait a minute, we got a big chunk of the story missing about what the hell happened in Canada.
I think if they really wanted to, they could have made that like a 3-hour, 3-part document. Yeah. I bet there's a lot of meat left on that bone as far as storytelling goes with that cat. Because wasn't he in a league last year with Terrell Owens or something? Wasn't he in that little silly league that you were watching B-Live? Maybe you were calling plays for it or something?
Fan control football.
Yeah, wasn't he in that?
He was calling plays for Johnny Manziel. Oh, shit, stop. Stop, Scott.
Stop. Am I wrong? Or did I? No, he was in that, right?
You're not wrong.
That's okay. See, that didn't get mentioned either. Yeah, him and T.O.
Oh, wow.
I think T.O. was on his team. I don't know. I didn't watch. That was in B-Live's wheelhouse right there.
I'm running out of time. I used to have more time. Like that. I really do not. Man.
Oh, good. Welcome back.
I'm still going to watch my XFL and USFL, but fan control football, it ain't all cracked up to be. And you don't really get to call the plays. You get to vote on them and with 10 other
whatever it was.
Cracker Jacks and popcorn on your couch.
There's only 20 people in the whole country watching it. So if you get 8 votes and you get to probably get to play.
I'm over here thinking B-Live calling ZY split left zipper boom tang pop 4 on 3. ZY boom tang pop on 3. Austin doing all kind of riffraff like that. But fellas, have y'all been moving right along? Have y'all been following this whole James Harden and Daryl Morey situation? Somebody want to request a trade. Then he's in China calling him a liar, and China was like, "So you gonna dunk the ball or what?" Be like, "What's going on with this mess? What's going on with it, man?"
Well, from what I gather, and this is just geez, horrible way of doing things, and the entitlement factor is through the roof when it comes to James Harden. But he has a justifiable reason for being upset. Scotty D's not going to agree because I already know how he feels about greed and money and et cetera, et cetera. But Daryl Morey did tell James Harden the year prior that, hey, we're going to hold off on the max deal. Got to move this. Got to change some things here and there. And now that max deal pretty much is not going to happen. James Harden is trying to get a trade so he can get a max deal somewhere else because Philly's basically saying, bro, you're not worth $250 million at all. It ain't going to happen. And so that's where I would be mad too if I was up for $250 million raise. And then my boss said, hold off just a little bit. I'm going to take care of you. And then it never happened. That's sort of how I got stuck here in Fayetteville because I was only supposed to be here a year. And then my boss had told me I was only supposed to be here a year. He moved on to greener pastures. And then I'm just still here. Wow. Now I'm not upset because, hey, I met a lot of great people here in Fayetteville. It was meant to be. So I'm here. And I wouldn't be in the studio if I'd have went on somewhere else. Everything happens for a reason, but $250 million. I'd be mad if I. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'd be mad too if I paid this guy what I've paid him and can't get past the first round or the second round of the playoffs. He's been overpaid for a long time. But here's the thing, he had the choice to be free. He wants to play for the Clippers. He had the opportunity to go play for Clippers. He opted into this contract, he picked the option up. You know why? Because it's $34 million and nobody else is stupid enough to give this no defense and overweight playoff losing son of a gun that kind of money. Nobody, he's not worth it and he knows it. He's 33 years old. He can't win playoff series after the first round. So
play it again, B-Loud, do it again.
What was that?
Hold on, listen.
I like it. I like it. I got a sound effect there. Yeah, I mean, he's not that player that's going to take you to the next level. He couldn't get Embiid to the next level. He was supposed to be the guy, and guess what he did last year? Same as he always does, shows up lame in the playoffs. The later it gets in the series, the less you see of James Harden. So now he's like, no, I believe Daryl Morey probably said, James, we're going to try to get you out of here. We're going to try to trade you. But he's running a business. He's responsible not to make James Harden happy. He's responsible to do the best he can for that organization. And if the Clippers are saying, we're not going to give you a bucket of balls for this dude, he can't say, okay, but he really wants to come there. So here, give me nothing and take him. I want to make James Harden happy. Take him. No, that's not how the business works. And whenever that well was dried up, he said, all right, James, we got to make it work with you this year.
What? He's a liar. I didn't get my way. He's a liar.
Yeah. Okay. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants that kind of contract on their hands. Nobody wants James Harden.
And speaking of that quote, I'm gonna give you some time to be laughing. And speaking of that quote, Scotty D, while James Harden was on his Chinese tour, he said, and quote, it says, Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization that he's a part of. That's twice, ain't it? Let me say that again. Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization that he's a part of. Go ahead, be live.
I want to ask Scotty D this, because Scotty D, you make some very valid points. I knew you were going to make these points, and I do tend to agree with you on a certain level. Yeah, James Harden he's on that other side, and it ain't what it was. It used to be whatever. How do you feel about Joel Embiid cutting all ties on social media with the 76ers?
What do you mean?
All of his social media, Joel Embiid took off any mention of the Philadelphia 76ers right after this whole James Harden, Daryl Morey situation.
Well, I don't know. I haven't talked to him, and I'm not sure if they haven't. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how the guys feel. Maybe he just doesn't want to be part of any of the fiasco, so he's like, I don't want to be involved. He's probably unhappy because you know why? All players are unhappy. Everybody's unhappy. Everybody in the NBA is unhappy. Kevin Durant's unhappy. Embiid's unhappy. I think the only one happy is Steph because he's out there in the sunshine and he's got a good contract and a pretty wife and baby dolls all over the place. Yeah, I mean, everybody's unhappy. Everybody wants to win and they want money and I want trade. They all want. And then they lock themselves into big contracts and then they're mad when they can't get out of them and they want trade. I don't know. My guess is, If I'm Philly, I would do everything. At this point, I would probably trade Harden for just a couple Wilsons. I think I'd go ahead and do that. And I probably would want to move Embiid at this point, too, because he's not going to be happy. And he's already not shown you. He can drag you into the third round because he's always hurt. So I like Joel Embiid, but I think he's probably better if he has an A player alongside with him and he's not relied on to be the A player. I'd trade him. I'd start getting draft picks and recoup and look for the future. Trust the process.
And give Tyrese Maxey some more time. Let Tyrese Maxey cook.
Steph Curry out here at concert singing with Paramore. Wow. He's living his best life.
He's the only happy person in the whole NBA, I think.
Yeah, he's out here doing his thing, man. He is out here doing his thing. Well, fellas, we've talked a lot, but looking at my phone, I'm getting a watch soon. Guess what time it is?
Let me see what it is. What's going on?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. It's time for our favorite portion of the show, The Choices of the Voices. And with that being said, hey, yo, Button, hit it. The Choices of the Voices right after this, right here on the Sports Bros Podcast.
And now, our favorite part of the show, The Choices of the Voices.
Once again, thank you to the wonderful man. So lovely, Miss Button, for introducing our favorite portion of the show, The Choices of the Voices. Last week, the turnout wasn't so great, but we understand it's summertime. It's a whole lot of stuff going on. We not mad at you. We're very understanding here at the Sports Bros Podcast, but we're back. Shout out to B-Live for gathering the answers for the choices of the voices. With that being said, Scotty D, what's on tap this week for the choices of the voices?
Fantasy football players, you get the number one pick overall. You got, who you taking?
All right, so who we got here? We got a list here of a few people. So it goes as follows, all right? Antonio Gonzalez says Justin. Now, I'm pretty sure he means Justin Jefferson, correct?
I'm going to go with that. I mean, I can't assume.
Yeah, you just.
I mean, that would be a pretty good pick, you know, way the league is shifting. So, wide receivers, we shall see.
No respect for the running back, B-Live. No respect for the running back.
Well, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right.
At one time in fantasy football, it used to be a hot commodity, but we'll see, all right? All right, Marcus James, what's up, fellow South Carolinian? He said, I'd be torn between Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, and we got another one for Jay Jettas, Justin Jefferson. So that's two for Justin Jefferson. And then he said, that's right, I consider taking a wide receiver number one overall. Well, only Jefferson. I may give Tyreek Hill and Ja'Marr Chase some consideration, but I don't think I would pass on CMC and Eckler for either of them. So, yeah, I understand. If it's available, go get it. Go get it, right? Matty Ice, he says he will pick Austin Eckler, but for some reason he will pick Christian McCaffrey. He said, only problem is I don't want to root for no 49ers. So he would rather pick Austin Eckler versus Christian McCaffrey simply based on the fact that he don't want to root for no 49ers. All right, so we got Jonathan Wood. He said he would pick Joe Burrow. Smoking at Joe Burrow. He would pick Joe Burrow, all right? Ramon James, of course, you know where he's going. He said he would pick Trevor Lawrence. Yep, I'm a homer. And then he said, and surprise pick would be Calvin Ridley, which could be a pretty good sleeper pick this year as well, too.
The question, though, is Jonathan Wood not paying attention to what's going on in football? Because if I'm not mistaken, Joe Burrow's on the shelf for quite a bit.
Yeah, with a non-con.
Joe Burrow's what?
On the shelf.
Joe Burrow's.
He'll play opening day.
Okay, all right.
He'll be back.
And that's kind of weird because he came into training camp with a sleeve on that calf. So, you know, might have been some pre-existing injuries going on there.
I think he plays opening day. Last year, didn't he have his appendix out or something like the day before opening day, and he still played?
Yeah.
And the year before, he blew out his knee, and he still played. You know, Dak had that calf injury a couple years ago. I think he missed 3 weeks, two games in a bye week game or something like that. They were on a bye week. So I think. How long has it been for Burrow? It's been 2 weeks now, right?
A little over 2 weeks.
All right, and he's got three more weeks before the season starts. Is that right?
Yep.
So we're looking at 5 weeks to get that thing ready. I kind of think he plays opening day.
Yeah, be like, what you think? It's a calf strain, mild calf strain?
You know what? I'm going to look it up because I'm not quite.
Yeah, it was a calf strain. I don't know that they ever actually said how bad it was because they asked his coach. What's his coach's name? Zach somebody or other?
Zach Taylor.
Yeah. Asked Zach Taylor how he was doing. Like a few days after, he said he'll be out several weeks. They're like, does that mean? And he said several. And that was the end of that discussion. So I don't think they ever really revealed how bad it was. But I think Ja'Marr Chase said, I don't care if he misses a couple weeks, take a few weeks off and then come back and when you're feeling better. I'd rather have you late than early. And in the meantime, he's also got this contract situation on the table. So that I think he's going to sign an extension before he comes back. But I think that's all going to be done right around opening day time. I think he plays opening day. If not, I don't think he misses more than one or two games the most. That's just me speculating with no inside information whatsoever.
You might be onto something, man, because Joe Burrow is not known for just missing games just because, you know.
And the Bengals are not being forthcoming with the information. They're being very vague with
it. Yeah, they have been vague, yeah.
We'll see. But the draft, our drafts are coming really soon. I need to know something.
Yeah, we need to know something. Speaking of our fantasy football draft, there may be an announcement coming up soon about our fantasy football draft because it's that time of the year and everybody wants to invite Eddie Cool to a fantasy football league. But the only problem is I can't be in two places at one time. With that being said, let's move right along with the choices of the voices. All right, Randy Martin, he said Justin Jefferson or Christian McCaffrey. All right. And then Brian Lovell, he said Christian McCaffrey. And then last but not least, Trey Dizzle. Let me
What'd he say? Dak? He picked Dak?
Let me go big gallery for this one because I need to see some faces here, all right? Scotty D, lean close, be live, you too. All right. Trey Dizzle, he said number one overall never goes to a quarter B ever. I don't know who the number one pick in fantasy will be, but I know Tony Pollard is going to dominate the fantasy football world. Mark my words.
You got nothing
about Dak?
Well, he didn't answer the question. He steered away from it. He says Tony Pollard is going to dominate, but is he saying that he would pick Tony Pollard as his number one pick? he's smoking on that Joe Burrow. If he he's thinking about picking Tony Pollard as his number one draft pick. Hey, bro, it's okay.
I think it's a great pick. I think it's a great, great pick.
Tony Pollard's going to be splitting carries with Deuce, so that will happen, just to let you know. They're going to be splitting carries.
There's also a matter of Malik Davis and Rico Dowdell in the middle of that, too. One of those guys is probably going to move on, and probably one will stick around.
Yeah,
and Ronald Jones is probably going to get released. He's already gotten a suspension for taking a medication for his heart. That's what happened.
Oh, that's what happened. That's what it was.
Yeah.
No doubt. Isn't he a game chicken?
Yes, sir.
He is. Drop the ball on the 1 yard line the other night on the way in the end zone. By the way,
damn it, Rico.
He looked good prior to that losing that ball. But.
Yeah, that's a perfect time for that damn sound effect. Damn you, Rico. All right. Shout out to Antonio, Marcus, Matty Ice, Jonathan Wood, Ramon James, Randy Martin, Trey Dizzle, and Brian Lovell for their participation in this week's Choices of the Voices. Scotty D, who you got?
I would take Dak.
That's a lie. Scotty D, who you got?
we're not going to continue this show until you take your own question seriously. I'm waiting.
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Our league is not for money. You correct?
No money.
All right. Then maybe I can go ahead and answer this. I didn't want to give B-Live any inside information there.
Pick who I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick the best person available. And
you know, this might sound, I don't know if I would have the guts to actually go through with it. I would kind of lean towards Bijan Robinson. Just because I think as the running back, he would, if I was picking first, he wouldn't get back to me coming back through the other way. And I think he's going to be the guy. I think he's going to be a stud this year. I think the young running back with the fresh legs and the Falcons are going to rely on the run. I think he could be the top running back statistically in the league this year. Now, everyone else say McCaffrey and Austin Eckler. So I don't know that I would definitely pull the trigger, but I would like to have one of the top three or four running backs if I'm picking first, because I know there's a little chance it would come back to me. Or I would even consider Travis Kelce, because as the tight end, there's a big gap after the next statistical tight end. I mean, it's almost like you get a bonus if you get Kelce on your team. Whereas, you know, there's a lot of quality running backs, a lot of quality receivers. So I think I would have to go with one of those too if I was in a complete start over redraft league. B-Live, what do you think?
I'm not mad at you at all. Those are compelling picks. Would I pick a tight end the number one? That would be
he's not coming back. If you pick first, you're not getting him in the second round. Because you're picking last if in the second round. So you don't, if you want Kelce and you're number one, you better take him there because you're not going to see another chance at him.
Okay. All right. We'll see. We'll see how these drafts go. I'm going to tell you right now, everybody wants to jump ship. Nobody cares about the running backs anymore outside of the – there was a couple of mentions, CMC, Austin Eckler. Nobody, and I mean nobody's going to give love to my boy Nick Chubb. Nobody?
Say it again.
That's my pick. I'm sorry. Running backs, I'm sorry. Deshaun Watson coming back, Nick Chubb is going to be that workhorse. Deshaun Watson is going to lean on him. There's going to be play action. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for Nick Chubb to find the end zone. It's going to be a beautiful thing. Nick Chubb is going to win a lot of people's fantasy leagues. Y'all keep sleeping on running backs if you want to. It may be one of those things where running backs are just as valuable as tight ends if you're talking about the top echelon. Because once you start dropping to some of those teams that are running back by committee, like if you get past your Austin Eckler, CMC, then from there it might be tough.
Yeah.
So Nick Chubb, number one.
Okay.
Eddie Cool, what say you?
You know what, B-Live, I respect that. I respect that. But for some reason, man, something is telling me, look, you better pick Justin Jefferson. Something in the air is telling me to pick Justin Jefferson. I don't know what it is. He's been receiving the league. He got it going on. Out of all the wide receivers on that, you know, in fantasy football, he has the most consistent thing, and that's a steady quarterback that will get him the ball. I can say that. I mean,
that's very true.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson is no doubt top five, and I'm looking at Bijan Robinson, huh?
They're number two wide receiver in Minnesota now.
Who's number one wide receiver in Minnesota?
Justin Jefferson. That's what I'm saying. Who's their number?
Oh, Addison, maybe? He's a rookie.
No, you're talking about wide receiver.
Jordan Addison. I've been talking about from Southern Cal, is it?
KJ. Yeah, he went to Pitt and then USC, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. KJ Osborne and whoever that dude is. His name slips my mind. Damn, who is it?
So Jettis is going to get a lot of targets. So.
Yeah, you would think. And Dalvin Cook's not swinging out of the backfield any longer either.
Jesus, yeah.
Which also could lead to some deficits, in which case you're throwing the ball to catch up.
Justin Jefferson.
I might want to rethink my answer.
I'm looking at right now. Yes, everything's point sourced.
I'm telling you, PPR, targets, it's a situation that if it's there in front of you, you can't say no to it.
Yeah.
Can't say no to it. But Scott, you brought up a very good point. It's going to get to a point where Minnesota's going to get, going to get down. They got to play from behind. They got to throw the ball. And it's going to be real uncomfortable stuff for the Vikings.
We shall see. Spot the ball, Lord Jesus. September can't get here quick enough. The fantasy draft can't get here quick enough. We need professional football. Need immediately. Like, I need professional football. I need to do football.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Johnny football documentary helped enough for a minute there, but enough of that. Let's get the real thing going here.
Give me some real football. As much as I want to get behind Canadian football, it just ain't it.
Canadian football is okay, but it's no USFL or XFL. Be like, I'll tell you that.
Boy, here we go.
What's next week? Let's go ahead and get into that.
All right,
kicker and punt returner.
Yeah, and I think I saw something on social media the other day where the XFL, there's been 50 players from the XFL. They either, I think they've received tryouts or signed a contract to be on some NFL team. So the pipeline is working. The pipeline's working between the XFL to USFL. So I mean, we'll see. Who knows? The NFL may be secretly backing these leagues financially. You never know. You never know. It's a feeder system, so it is what it is.
NFL is talking about changing their kickoff rules.
Yep, I did see that too. You never know. You never know. Scotty D, what's on tap for next week's choices of the voices?
All right, let's keep talking football here. What 2022 NFL playoff team will miss the playoffs this year? And what team that made the playoffs or what non-playoff team from last year do you think jumps up into the playoffs this year? So again, we're going to give you the switcheroo on both. What team that was in the playoffs last year you think will miss this year? And what non-playoff team from a year ago you think gets in? Now, look, I know we're all going to pick the Buccaneers, so try to be a little bit more creative than that. Tom Brady is gone, and so are the Buccaneers' good fortunes. I might even consider that as a non-playoff team because they were under 500 last year. That's the only reason the Cowboys got a playoff win, and they got Baker Mayfield this year. So if you say, I think the Buccaneers will make the playoffs, I'll take that anyway, whatever. But anyway, that's what we're looking at. What NFL playoff team last year misses this year, and what team that didn't make it last year is going in this year? And Eddie Cool, that'll give us something to talk about next.
All right, that's been another edition of The Choice of the Voices. Coming up next, I'm not sneezing, my nose not itching. It might be allergies because it's B-Live grinding over there. Pepper, it's time for a round of Pepper. Coming back right at you, right here on the Sports Bros Podcast.
Okay, boys, let's bring it home with a round of Pepper.
All right, it's time for us to go home and get what I call the hell up out of here. But before we go, we're going to do a round of Pepper. You know how we do it. Three topics, rapid fire style, kind of, sort of, not really, here to engage, enlighten, educate, and entertain, all right? And with that being said, I'll go first. On this day in history, back in 1976, the St. Louis Cardinals, the football team, defeat the San Diego Chargers 20-10 in Tokyo, Japan, in an NFL exhibition. Yep, so the Cardinals and the Bolts go to the land of the rising sun and play football. I think they played in the Tokyo Dome. That's a big old dome. A pretty nice dome. Hosted a few Wrestle Kingdoms, some football games and baseball games and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's that. Over to you, Scotty D.
All right, it's playoff time. And when I say playoffs, I'm talking about golf. Now, actually, before I get into this, the PGA's FedEx playoff, I want to tell you about, I played golf myself this past weekend with a lifelong friend of mine, and he had just come back from Myrtle Beach. He had gone down there on a family vacation, played a round of golf down there, and on the way back, he and his family, his sons, they stopped in West Virginia for the LIV golf tournament. He went to a LIV tournament, and he said this was a really good event. It was a fun event. And he said the reason is because the players, well, he said everyone except for Brooks Koepka, the players were a lot more accessible and friendly. And I saw pictures of his son with Sergio Garcia and Harold Varner and Cameron Smith. So he said this LIV tour thing, this LIV event was great. And I got to tell you, it didn't change my mind. I still hate it. So I watched the PGA on Sunday, and I saw a great tournament as Lucas Glover, the old man with his pants, butt sweating and legs sweating all the way through his pants. He grinded out a victory over Patrick Cantlay in a playoff for his second win in a row, by the way. But this one was the first of the three of the FedEx playoffs. This one took place in Tennessee. So they went from 70 players down to 50 this week. This week they're playing the BMW Championship in Olympia Fields in Illinois. They will then go down to 30 for the Tour Championship on August 24th in Atlanta. And I think that is the one where they will rank the top 10 players, starting off with John Rahm, starting at 10 under par, and then moving down all the way till the rest of the players are even. So that's what we got coming up. A cool weekend to see Lucas Glover, the old fella, come through and get a back-to-back win. Hasn't been done many times on the PGA in the last few years, but Lucas Glover gets the job done over Patrick Cantlay. Be live, over to you.
Butt sweat.
All right, my first Pepper point, I'm just bringing up a little bit of college football. You see the shirt, you see the Paul. The AP decided they still want to be a part of something, even though their vote really don't even matter anymore. But the AP put out their preseason college football poll, and it goes as following from 10 on up to 1. 10 coming in, the Washington Huskies. The Washington Huskies, their last year in the Pac-12. Number 9, you see the Paul, my very own beloved Clemson Tigers coming at number 9. Number 8, the Florida State Seminoles. I mean, Seminoles, my bad.
What?
I said what I said. All right. Coming in at number 7, the Penn State Nittany Lions. Number 6, the
Really?
Yes, Penn State at number 7. Number 6. The Southern Cal USC Trojans, the real USC Trojans, come in at number 6. Number 5, LSU, Louisiana State University Tigers.
Go Tigers.
The fake Tigers. Number 4, Alabama, the Crimson Tide, comes in at number 4. Number 3 with one first place vote is the Ohio State University. The Buckeyes coming in at number 3. Number 2, coming in with two first place votes, is that team up north, the Michigan Wolverines. And coming in at number 1, they're thinking that there might be a three-peat with 60 first place votes.
Hey.
Georgia Bulldogs. Oh, please, for the love of God, don't let Georgia win it in third.
Oh, my goodness.
It come out the woodwork now, but it is what it is. College football, I think we're like less than 3 weeks away. Thank God. Eddie Cool, the ball.
Come busting out of the bush towards go down. Where was you at 5 years ago, 6 years ago? What was you doing? What you doing, all right? All right, so keeping up with the football theme, fantasy football once again. So San Francisco Giants color comp broadcaster Dave Fleming loses a bet in fantasy football. His team finished last, so he had to serve as a bad boy. All right, according to Fox Sports, it's never good to finish last in your fantasy football league and risk some form of public embarrassment, even if you're a well-known television radio broadcaster up for the San Francisco Giants. Dave Fleming found it out the hard way. With the new fantasy season around the corner, he had paid penance for finishing last in his league last year by serving as the Giants' bat boy for 3 innings. Fleming got some encouragement and pointers from the Giants' bat boys and even gave a pep talk from San Francisco manager Gabe Kapler, who told him to hit the showers after the 3 innings were up. After his bat boy duties, Fleming made it back to the Giants radio booth by the 4th inning to help call the rest of the game and perhaps spend a bit more time preparing for the upcoming fantasy football season. Yeah, you might need to, because you wound up being a doggone bat boy. And also, in that game, the Giants fell to the Tampa Bay Rays 10-2. Over to you, Scotty D.
I'd like that kind of gig. I'd do that. I'd be a bat boy. Yeah. I'd be a radio broadcast / bat boy. That would be okay. I mean, so this week coming up, we've got the Sugar Show. Sean O'Malley going for the bantamweight title against Aljamain Sterling at the latest UFC pay-per-view. Looking very much forward to this one. Aljamain Sterling's been a little bit grumbling about this because he feels like he got rushed into this fight too quickly after his previous title defense. But Sugar Show seems primed and ready. He is the underdog. Sterling is not faltered since he's grabbed this title. So that one's coming up. And on the undercard is the return of Chris Weidman. Now, I don't know if you guys remember this, but I do because I watched it live. But in April of 2021, he took on Uriah Hall and snapped his leg in half.
Yeah, I remember him.
Throwing a kick. And when he put his weight down on it, the leg just bent wrong. And I remember I said, ah, that was my reaction. Ah, because I didn't like what I saw. But rather than retire, Weidman has fought through this pain. He's coming back to the octagon. He's lost 6 out of his last 8 fights. So it's not like he's on the upside of his career anyway. I think he's nuts for coming back. If you break my leg in half, all I want to do is sit and eat Cheetos the rest of my life. That's it for me. But anyway, we'll see what happens this Saturday night, UFC pay-per-view. Be live, over to you.
Cheetos do sound good. I ain't gonna lie to you.
My fat kid in me. Oh, whew. All right. My second pepper point coming from the NFL, where there was some shocking news coming from the Indianapolis Colts camp, where Anthony Richardson has been named as the Colts starting QB over Gardner Minshew. And Richardson was
wow.
He was actually shocked. He didn't think that he was going to get the nod. this early.
Because even he knows he sucks.
Wow. Look at me now. Look at that face.
I know, B-Live, you wanted him number one to the Panthers. I remember.
Absolutely wanted him number one at the Panthers. But, hey, Bryce Young's my dude. I'm with him 100%. They ain't no way around it. And to Panthers fans, stop crying all the time. Anthony Richardson is their franchise quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. It is so. Eddie Cool, the ball.
Scotty D's not too sold on that one. All right, so moving right along while we're on the topic of football. Let's wish a happy birthday, a happy 61st birthday, if I'm not mistaken, to the Nigerian nightmare, Christian Okoye. All right, on this day, back in 1961, Christian Okoye, the Nigerian-American football player, known as the Nigerian nightmare for the Kansas City Chiefs, was born in Enugu, Nigeria. All right? Enugu, Nigeria. He was a first-team All-Pro in 1989, second-team All-Pro in 91. He made the Pro Bowl twice in 89 and 91. He led the NFL in rushing back in 1989. He was an All-Rookie Team in 87 and the Kansas City Chiefs Hall of Fame. The product of Azusa Pacific College. He was drafted in the second round, the 35th pick, and he finished his career with 4,897 yards. He averaged 3.9 yards a carry and 40 rushing touchdowns. Now, just imagine a man that's 6 feet one, 253 pounds, running after you. You remember, y'all remember, Scotty, do you remember shoulder pads?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like...
He was a beast.
Yeah, he's a rather large man. He was a rather large man. So, the funny thing about it is, he didn't start playing football until the age of 23, and then by the time he turned 28, he led the league in rushing. Wow. Yeah. So, happy birthday to the Nigerian nightmare, Christian Okoye. Over to you, Scotty D.
Christian Okoye, also the recipient of the baddest hit I've ever seen in my life when Steve Atwater laid him out. Steve Atwater to me made the Hall of Fame with one tackle. Anyway, all right. So, you know, guys, when you start becoming emotionally attached to a team, you really get involved, like emotionally attached to individual players, especially whenever your players, your team win a championship and you form that emotional bond with a player. This past weekend, the NBA Hall of Fame welcomed some new members, Becky Hammond, Dwayne Wade, Greg Popovich, and the Internationals, Dirk Nowitzki, Tony Parker, and Pau Gasol. I happened to catch a couple of the speeches. I saw a little bit of Tony Parker's, and I saw Dwayne Wade's speech, which was really touching. He gave a lot of credit to his parents, addressed them individually. He addressed Michael Jordan being his hero and how he just worked and worked and worked to try to be like him. And then he had a great moment with Allen Iverson, who I didn't even realize was like his personal hero. And he wore number 3 in tribute to Allen Iverson. Great speech. But my man, Pau Gasol, when he came to the Lakers, changed the franchise. If you guys remember, Shaq left town and left Kobe with Smush Parker and Kwame Brown and a young Andrew Bynum, who was still coming into his own. And whenever the Lakers re-signed Derek Fisher and added Pau Gasol, suddenly the Lakers were no longer the laughingstock. They were back in the championship picture, going to 3 in a row, winning 2. And Kobe, at the time, said, things changed when we got the big Spaniard. Well, in his Hall of Fame speech, Pau Gasol mentioned the night that he got to town and Kobe came over and said, welcome to the team, but I need you in, all in right now. It's going to be work. And he said, I'm in. And he said Kobe pushed him to levels he didn't even know. He brought him to heights that he didn't know he had in him. And it was a great tribute to Kobe Bryant. And his wife Vanessa was sitting there. And I know that it hurt Gasol to not have him in there, because as much as crap as Kobe put this man through, you could see him on the court pushing Powell and being tough on him. Gasol, being ever the loyal friend, never let that affect him, never let his ego get in the way. Took his game to the next level, and those guys remained best of friends after Kobe's playing career ended. And so it was, for me as a Laker fan, I was emotionally invested in that team. I was emotionally invested in that speech as well. So congratulations, not only to Pau Gasol, but all the new Hall of Famers. B-Live, to you.
And Scotty D, why do you keep doing this to me?
Why? I make you cry? Because I cried when I saw Powell give the speech. I did. I teared up.
What you do is that you come in with these emotional and feel good third pepper points, knowing that I'm going to come with mess.
Here we go. Let's get it.
And my third and final pepper point, and this is something that is near and dear and emotionally attached to Scotty D, and I am so proud to make this announcement. ESPN announced Monday.
I can't believe it. No.
He knows where I'm going with it.
Oh, ESPN no. It's happening.
Monday, that Doris Burke will become the first woman to serve as a game analyst on television for a championship final in one of the four major professional U.S. sports leagues. In other words, you will hear Doris Burke alongside Mike Breen, bang, and Doc Rivers.
Oh, even worse.
For the NBA.
Oh, Doris Burke, I don't know who's Doc worse, Rivers. Doris or Doc. It's almost as if they don't want us to watch. It's almost as if they said, let's take this great team and let's just make everybody mad, especially Scott Donnelly in Washington, Pennsylvania. We don't want him watching anymore. Here's Doris and Doc. Oh.
My third and final pepper point strikes again, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
I knew Doris Burke is part of ESPN and ABC's top NBA.
That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. Well, it gives me hope. I'm going to college for this stuff. Gives me hope.
See, now you got some.
You can be that terrible and still work for ESPN as lead analyst. I could surely pick up a job at a high school gym somewhere doing play-by-play. I got hope now. That's the way I'm looking at it. Putting a positive spin on it. Amen. Doris.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are welcome. that did my heart glad just to see the amount of pain that's
He's been put all around.
He's been whole out.
That clip is going on YouTube. Not gonna lie. That's going on YouTube. Yeah, Scotty D does his best great mood of Ricky the Steamboat and Oscar impersonation. Oh boy. Oh man. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of the Sports Bros Podcast. Like I said, shout out to the Almighty B Live. He is the manager over there at what's it called? B Live Shared Studios.
Share Studios.
Yeah. Share Studios, B Live. Where can they find you at?
Find me at 3005 Sigma Street here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, located behind the Trophy House. He has a
best brisket, best burgers, 100 beers on tap.
We're not there anymore.
Okay.
I retired. Gotta go.
Yeah, and a half of fried chicken. And Scotty D, you say Waynesburg, right?
Waynesburg University, here I come. I believe the Yellow Jackets. I think that's where we are.
Yep, Yellow Jackets. And you can find me at WOBL, WDLW, Lorain County Country, and The Cool Cat. Friday nights, I'll be in a booth. Running the live stream, the video. That's right. Stay tuned this Friday night as the Plymouth Big Red travels to Oberlin, Ohio to take on the Oberlin Phoenix. The game time kicks off at 7:30, so you might want to tune in at 7 o'clock if you're interested in watching. That's right, watching some high school football in Lorain County on the Lorain County Sports Network, all right? All right, fellas, anything to say before we get the hell up out of here and watch a little bit of wrestling and stuff like that?
Farewell.
All right, farewell. With that being said, and in closing, do something nice for yourself. And if you can do something nice for someone else, they'll greatly appreciate it now more than ever. Be a blessing, not a burden, and learn from us. Keep chasing those dreams because things will happen. And if you start school out there, kids, be careful. No crying. No, you can't stay home. Get your ass up and go to school, all right? Your parents love you,
And so do we. It's been another episode of the Sports Bros Podcast. Be live. Take us home.
Yes, sir.
Take care. Be safe. Thoughts and prayers to go out to those affected with the wildfires out in Hawaii. Our hearts are with you. Also, our hearts are with the family of Alex Collins, who tragically passed away in a motorcycle accident. We love y'all. Take care. See you next week. And as always, thanks for watching and listening.
You got that Steely Resolve still?
This guy, do you have the Steely Resolve?
Ugh.
And we're going to end it right there. Hey, it's Eddie Cool here from the Sports Bros Podcast. Thank you for listening. And as always, continue to follow us on all of our social media platforms. Just click the link in the description box and keep up with the Sports Bros Podcast. And once again, thanks for listening.